3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal stories.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And that opens up another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. So glad you could be with us. I'm Rachel Owens, joined this week by Desiree Constantino.
Hello.
Great to have you back with us. It's been a while since you've been in.
It has, and I'm glad to be here and pitch hitting for Leah this week.
So this is a fun topic, as always, this week. We are talking about beginner's luck.
Yes. My first time telling a story on Exfabula stage actually was just kind of a fluke, and they called me back for the spectacular. So that's how I got involved.
Good origin story there.
Yes. So it's beginners indeed.
All right. And even though it's not Girl Scout cookie time right now, this first story feels very appropriate for the holiday season. We're going to talk about some Girl Scout cookie hustle.
We do. And our first story comes from Megan Colvin, who also happens to be the board president of Exfabula. So she knows how to hustle and always around. And this is her story about Karma from March of 2018.
When I was a little girl, I was a brownie. My mom was a brownie troop leader for a while, but that's a whole different story. Everybody knows that being a brownie is all about the hustle. It's all about selling the cookies, right? It's a competitive kind of thing, and you know, if you sell the most cookies in your troop, you get a little prize, and then, you know, in your region, your troop gets extra funding or whatever the case is. So, you know, in my family, there are certain ways that we do things and we go after it, okay? But we also go after it ourselves. So here I am, I don't know, I'm like 9 or 10 years old. There were girls in my troop that, you know, their parents, and I'm sure some of them are out here today, where they take their kids' form with them to the job site and they talk and they send out emails on behalf of their daughter saying, oh yeah, come buy cookies for me. Yeah, not in my house. No. My parents made me, I actually asked them to do this for me. Hey, can you take this form? And they looked at me like, no, you are coming to work with me. You are going to go talk to my colleagues and you're going to do the pitch and you are going to handle the business and you're going to be lucky. You know, we as your parents are going to give you access to these resources and then it's up to you. Okay. So one year I worked my off. I was hustling. I was calling people. You know, I would get in front of these adults and I would do the pitch about why these cookies are so delicious and how the funds for these cookies could really make a difference in these young girls' lives. And when someone would go to say, okay, I'll buy a box, I would give them the look. Really? One box? Okay. And, you know, suddenly they'd want like 3 or 4. And I was just like, you know, I was in the running. I was a contender for the winner of the number of boxes of cookies for my troop that year. I was watching the numbers very closely throughout this whole campaign. And, you know, what can I say? I wanted it and I wanted it bad. I was hoofing through neighborhoods. I was going to the mall. I was standing outside of grocery stores. You know, anything I could do to get in front of a new audience of people to tell them about these delicious cookies. If I had to do again, I'd go to campus, of course, you know, because that's where all the cookie lovers really are. But again, I'm 9 or 10 and didn't know any better at the time. So the problem was that, you know, there were other people in my, other girls in the troop that were doing the same thing. And Kathy Sloan, Kathy Sloan was right on my tail in terms of the number of boxes she was selling. The night before the campaign ended, Cassie, you know, I was in the lead and I was ecstatic. Like, I was so ready. I could taste the victory. I didn't even know exactly what the prize was, but I didn't care. But the night before, Kathy Sloan's dad swooped in and bought just enough cookies, boxes of cookies, to put her over the top, and she won. I was enraged. There was no consoling me. I wanted justice. And I was talking about this with my parents, and, you know, we had to go to this, like, what you would call it, like a banquet, you know, where they hand out the awards. And I was like, I am not going in protest. And I, you know, this and that. I wanted my parents to call her parents and say, what the heck are you doing? That's not fair. I wanted to call somebody and do something. And my mother sat me down and said, Megan, you're going to that banquet and you're going to look Kathy Sloan in the face and you're going to smile and you're going to congratulate her for a job well done. I said, the hell I am. Okay, so maybe I didn't say that at 9, but, you know, now, for many, many years, I wanted to believe that some cosmic karma had taken over Kathy's life, that she ended up some awful single woman living in a trailer park somewhere in Arkansas, but the truth is I don't really know whatever happened to her. Sometimes it's just the way the world works, is what my mom said. And I gotta say, the real gift is that I still got that hustle. And it works quite well in my role as board president of Xfabula.
And that was Megan Coven with her Karma Story Slam from March 2018. And I can relate because my mom also made me pick up the phone and call people back in the day when I was selling cookies. You know, she did hustle with me as well because she's a little bit competitive. But when it came to delivering them, she regretted everything she did.
Yeah, I never had that experience as being a Girl Scout, but I can definitely appreciate the hustle. I found it so hilarious that the audience, I don't know if you could hear that, but someone said, recount.
Yes, exactly. That's very appropriate right now.
Indeed. All right. So that's one example of beginner's luck. We're going to roll on to the next story now. So this is a very different take, a more adult-themed story.
Yes. Patricia McNamee Rosenberg took to our stage for our first time Story Slam in February of 2018. And, you know, it was the story of a first date after not dating for a long time and some hilarity that ensued.
This is about the first time that I had a date in 30 years. And my husband had died a year before this. And I went online and met a widower from Wisconsin. I'm from Illinois. Don't mind that. Anyway, so he was coming to see me at my new apartment in Illinois, and so I went over to the neighbor's house and I said, this guy Denny is coming over to see me. Do you mind if you meet him and if I disappear, do something? And she goes, oh yeah, no problem. So then I go shopping with my friend Peggy for my new date, and Peggy and I have been friends forever. We go and we're walking out of the mall. We get in my car, I look down at my cigarettes. I don't smoke. Peggy, we're in the wrong car. We jump out like we'd robbed a bank. We run down, we get in my car, we drive away, and we go to lunch. And then we're getting out at lunch, and I look back for my purse, and my purse is in the other car. And so now I'm hysterical. My whole life is in this car. It is a Coach bag. It has $250 of cash, all my IDs, and my cell phone. And I'm like, Peggy, I have this date. What are we going to do? So we go look for the car. We're driving around this parking lot. You know, there's no car. My purse isn't waving at us. I go, oh no, we're going to have to call the police. So I call the police, and the dispatcher, she says to me, you know, ma'am, we are not a lost and found. And I said, well, you know, it could have been kind of stolen, maybe. And she goes, no, it wasn't stolen. You gave your purse away. I said, well, you know, maybe so, but you've got to get someone here to help me. I have no place to go. And she goes, okay. So she sends this 14-year-old policeman over, and he drives in his SUV, this plainclothes SUV. He rolls down the window. He wouldn't even get out. He goes, well, you know, ma'am, he goes, your purse is missing. I go, well, it's actually not missing. The car it was in is missing. And I said, you know, and he goes, well, did it look like your car? I said, it could have been a Greyhound bus. We were talking a lot. I have no idea what we got in. And he goes, well, you know, I can't do anything for you. This wasn't stolen. I said, well, okay. He gave me a fake police report number. And he goes, you're going to take this, and then you can get everything replaced. He goes, I have a friend that lives in your neighborhood. He's a cop. He's not going to find your purse. But if we find your purse, I'll send him to your house. I said, terrific. Meanwhile, Peggy's in a bathroom. She's just dying. She's laughing so hard. So anyway, so I go home, I replace all my IDs and everything. Denny comes over and I tell him this story and he acts like this happens every day, no big deal. You know, we go out for margaritas and at the second pitcher of margaritas, I get this phone call from the neighbors and a policeman had shown up at the door and the policeman says, you know, Birgit, my neighbor, calls and she goes, Patty, your purse is here, but you aren't here. You're with some guy in Wisconsin thinking something happened to me. So meanwhile, we go to the police station the next day, Denny and I. We go to pick up the purse and I walk in and they give me my purse and it had been all organized and there was this long list, like toilet paper long list. And it said things like Tylenol PM, old used Band-Aid, 3 M&Ms, 2 yellow, 1 green. It was so humiliating. Then they go, ma'am, you're not going to believe this, but your purse was found in the mayor's wife's car. And she just drove up to see her husband for lunch. He happened to work in the same place as the police and hands it over. And I'm going, I didn't care where it was found. I go, tell me that they looked alike. Tell me the cars looked alike so Denny wouldn't run away. And he goes, yes, ma'am, the cars were identical. I go, hey, listen, could you keep this out of papers or anything so nobody knows there was no crime? He goes, are you kidding, ma'am? We have your name on the bulletin board. Everybody's talking about you. We're going to start a blog about you. So Denny and I are still together, and he survived our first date.
That was Patricia McNamee Rosenberg with her first time Story Slam February 2018. And incidentally, beginner's luck this week, we're having our December Story Slam on December 4th, and that'll be at Mr. J's Lounge. Our first time being there, so hopefully we'll have some beginner's luck as well.
Nice. Always exciting to have a new venue, I imagine.
It is. It is. And, you know, we like to get around to different neighborhoods in the community, so this one will be a nice addition.
Boy, I learn something every week when we have these ex-fabulous stories. For example, with this last one, I've learned to, I don't carry a purse really, but I always have a backpack. That's my purse. So I've learned to keep that very clean now in case it ever gets lost. It would be a bit embarrassing if those items were itemized as well.
That's very true. I actually almost walked into somebody else's car the other day that was white and looked just like mine until I looked in the front seat and noticed that it was much cleaner. So that was my first clue.
That was the giveaway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been another fun edition of Ex-Fabula Radio. Great again to see you, Desiree. Thanks for coming in.
You too, Rachel, and have a happy holiday.
Thanks. You too.
For I've got beginner's luck. The first time that I'm in love with you.